have your Bibles, open with me, and I'm going to go to the book of Ephesians this morning, and I'm going to deal with the prophetic ministry and how God speaks to us, okay? So Ephesians chapter 2, just grab that, and we're going to go there in a second. Thank you guys for giving tithes and offerings to the church at each of the exits on your way out. There are offering buckets, and you can give that way, and you can give online. You can text to give, and I appreciate all that you do. Thank God for you guys giving to missions, too. I don't know where Fountain of Life ranked in 2020, but God has blessed us to be one of the top mission-giving churches in all the International Pentecost Holiness Church. And I know in 19, I think we were the number one giving church in the nation. And God just blessed us, man. God is that you can never convince me that's not why we're blessed. It's why we're blessed, guys. Come on. It's what we do for the world and what we do for others. Amen. I believe if you bless others and do for others, God will always bless you. He'll always make a way for you. Amen. Years ago, I heard Pat Robertson say, you know, I worked at the 700 Club for a little bit, and I went to Regent University, but I heard Pat say years ago the reason they were so blessed is because they started the Operation Blessing. They've gone around the world and fed the hungry and clothed the naked and brought medical supplies. I mean, crazy stuff you never hear about that they do. But that's how God blesses us. Amen? So thank you for giving. Also, I just encourage you to get involved in the church. We do online Bible study right now on Wednesday nights. I'm into the book of Job. And it's just beautiful. I appreciate all you guys who log in and interact with us. Then there's life groups starting up. You can sign up in the foyer if you're interested in being part of a life group. There's also Sunday school classes back running right now. Friday night prayer still happens. There's still healing rooms that happen every Tuesday night. So I just encourage you to get back involved in all those. And, you know, I think during Corona, a lot of us kind of got lazy. I mean, it was just the nature of the way it went. And but don't get so lazy you move God out of the picture. Amen. Keep him on the forefront. Amen. So last year, as you know, you guys have been walking with me through my process over the last year, and my wife passed away last July, and then that was in the middle of the coronavirus, and then we had this crazy presidential election. This whole season, really the craziness of it was the media and the social media and the online craziness going on. But anyhow, last year after Jackie passed, I had one of my really good friends reach out to me, and he said, you need to preach on prophetic ministry in your church. Because there were some words given over her that she would not die and that she would live. And by some powerful people, some of our friends, but I didn't let that wreck my faith. I mean, I didn't let that stop my journey. And I even talked to my friends about it and said, hey, we all were believing for the best, and we were all believing for her to live. And then coming into the presidential election, there have been these prophecies, you know, a lot of prophetic words shared about you know, Trump would win another season. Or I've heard others that have been, some prophetically spoken, he would be a one-term president. But anyhow, it has caused a lot of confusion. Nothing else, it's caused a lot of confusion. And so we've had people coming to us. Some of you in this room probably have reached out to me or some of the other folks that work with us and just been like confused. Like, and then you had the corona deaths as well. And we're like, we've seen our friends pass away here. And we're like really confused. What is God doing? And blah, 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 blah. So I felt the demand to come and speak to it as a pastor. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm just going to take you back to the Word, okay? And we're going to go back to the Word, and we're going to start in the Word. And I think you're going to be blessed by what's shared today. It's like, and it's going to take me a while to do this. It probably will take at least two Sundays, because it's like we're going to try to work on a transmission, but we don't know how to lift the hood of a car yet. Okay, so let's get to that first, and then we'll dig on down into the deeper weeds of things, okay? So today, I'm going to do a lot of teaching here today, and what I want to do is I want to ask one question, but I want this question to have two parts, and that question is, does God still speak today? Does he still speak today? I'm going to dig into this, and then a second part to that is, if he does speak, how does he speak to us today? Okay? Does God speak today? And if he does speak, then how does he speak? Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Bible says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Can we say amen? Amen. Three different images or three different word pictures used here. One is of a nation with citizens. The next is of a body with parts. And the third is of a temple with bricks and mortar and stones and all that. And he uses these three different word pictures to describe the church. That's the church. We're a body, we're a nation of citizens, and we are a temple made up of different material. But he says the foundation of all of that is laid by two ministry gifts, the apostles and the prophets. He says it's based upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. These are two of the ministry gifts that we discover in Ephesians chapter 4. So turn over two pages or so in your Bible and look at Ephesians chapter 4. And it says in verse 11, "He himself," being Jesus himself, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." So Jesus himself, when he ascended to heaven, gave to the church certain gifts so that the church could operate in the life and ministry that Jesus operated in. And these are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Okay? Now, in particular, those first two, people have said, well, those first two are kind of hard to understand. We understand what a pastor is, what an evangelist is, and what a teacher is, right? But apostles and prophets, that's kind of weird. So a lot of people have just left them off or said they only operated in the first century when the church was being founded, and now we don't need them anymore. So the term apostle means one who goes forth and establishes and builds. One who goes forth and establishes and builds. And then the prophetic gift is just very simply one who speaks for God. Okay? The apostle is one who goes forth and builds. The prophet is one who speaks for God. And some say, well, we didn't need those after the establishing of the New Testament church. And once we got the Bible, we didn't need any of those guys anymore. Yet if you notice the rest of that passage, it says, "He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry." So those five gifts work in the body of the church to equip the Christians to do ministry. This is a paradigm that I think we need to crack open, because we lost hold of that after the Protestant Reformation to some extent. We thought ministry was only done by those fivefold giftings. Or let's get real. We thought ministry was only done by three guys, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But actually, the Bible says ministry is done by the saints. That's you. That's all of us. How many saints we have in here? You're really, we think, well, saints only that just declared by the Catholic Church. No, Paul called the Corinthians saints, and they had some problems. It's another sermon. But anyhow, they were sanctified. That's where that term comes from. Okay. Then he says, "For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ," or to build up the church. Okay, so the ministry gifts, these fivefold gifts we need to build up the church, and we need to equip and train and prepare the saints to do ministry. And then he gives us the time frame. He says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Have we reached that yet? We haven't reached the full measure of his knowledge and stature. We haven't come into perfect unity yet. So our presiding bishop, Dr. Doug Beacham, put it this way. He said that verse places a theological demand on the gifts that will not be fulfilled until Jesus comes. So until Jesus comes, we need apostles. We need prophets. We need evangelists. And we need pastors. And we need teachers. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. We need all of the fivefold ministry working in our church. I'm going to give you some characteristics specifically, though, of prophetic ministry, because that's kind of the hot subject right now. And then I'm going to broaden it out into how we hear from God, and that's going to be where we're going to, and then next week I'll pick up the next part of this. Let me just give you some basic facts about prophets. First of all, the definition of a prophet is basically one who conveys God's truth, one who speaks God's truth. And some believe that prophetic ministry is only forthtelling, meaning it should never deal with the future. I have friends that believe this, that it should never deal with forecasting the future, because Paul said in Corinthians that the prophetic gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that the prophetic gift is for the edification, is for the exhortation, and the comfort of the church. He said prophetic comes for edification, exhortation, and comfort to the church. So if it gets into future telling, that doesn't fit the bill. But I don't completely agree with that, because I believe prophetic gift is also for foretelling. Why? Because the Bible is filled with people who moved under the power of the Spirit and they foretold future things happening. And I'm going to show you some examples of that. So I believe the prophetic gift is both forthtelling and foretelling. Okay? Prophets, however, often challenge the status quo. We've always said the prophets are those who see black and white. They don't see any gray. And they challenge the status quo. Back in the Old Testament book of Samuel, there was a prophet named Samuel, and God didn't have kings at this time, because God wanted to run the nation of Israel like a theocracy, that he was in charge and he would speak through his prophetic voices. But what happens in the book of Samuel is the people started wanting a king, because they wanted to be like the nations around them. And so the prophet Samuel stood up and said, okay, God's going to give you a king just like you're wanting, but here's what's going to happen. And he told all of the bad things that would happen as a result of going after a king, and how they would suffer eventually under this kingship. And what happened? Exactly what he spoke came to pass. So he prophetically saw the future and called into question the status quo to shake them, to hopefully wake them. But even they didn't wake up, did they? In the end, they wanted a king. And Samuel came before the Lord and he said, Lord, they've rejected me. And the Lord said, Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. So prophets challenge the status quo. Also, prophetic gift can be very practical. I mean, it can be very practical. In the ancient church, there was a bishop in the 3rd century called Cyprian of Carthage in North Africa. And he writes in his writings, 3rd century, this is 200s, okay? He was writing that prophecy was used in the appointing of leaders. Prophecy was used in personal guidance. And prophecy used was for direction. And also he says that there were visions that often accompanied those who would confess their sins in confession, and that there were visions and words often given to those who were being martyred or killed for their faith. So the prophetic gift has been with us ever since Genesis and will be with us until Jesus comes. But the prophets had to ascribe to Orthodox theology. They had to live a disciplined life. And they had to live under the authority and operate under the authority of a bishop or pastor. This was the rules in the ancient church. There's one book that goes back to the first century called the Didache. And in the Didache, there was a evident war going on between local church authorities and roaming prophets. And so the Didache laid down guidelines for roaming prophets. And now this isn't scripture, but it's just an idea of the ancient church. They said a prophet shouldn't come for money, and a prophet should stay no longer than 3 days. So they restricted the prophetic ministry to try to bring discipline. In another book called The Shepherd of Hermas that some early church people thought was scripture, prophets were to be humble. They were to know that their gift came from God and it was not their own. They weren't to walk in this arrogance and pride. I'm a prophet and I'm the only one that hears from God. And prophecy was also prominent in the book of Acts. We can look throughout the book of Acts and see powerful prophetic words given. One was in Acts chapter 11, where a prophet named Agabus was told by the Lord that there was a coming famine to that part of the nation, that part of the world. And so he declared it prophetically. The church started a relief fund for those who would suffer through the famine, and it helped those people make it through. Later on, Agabus gave Paul a word, and he gave it to him. He acted it out. He said, "This is what's going to happen to the man who goes to Rome." And he brings out a cord, and he wraps his hands up, and he shows a man bound, and he's saying, "Paul, if you go to Rome, this is what's going to happen to you." What happened? Paul went to Rome, and he was arrested. He was bound, and he was arrested, just like the prophet had said. In Acts chapter 22, the Lord gave Paul a word that he needed to leave Jerusalem, or he would be killed. A prophetic warning, very practical, even in the ancient church. There are countless examples of prophetic ministry in the ancient church, in the medieval period, and in the modern period. Let me read a few from the medieval period. One of my favorite characters from the medieval church is a man named Francis of Assisi. God gave him a prophetic command, quote, "Go repair my house, for as you can see, it is falling into ruin." And he started a ministry, took a group of guys with him, and they started ministering to lepers, first of all. And then they started ministering to multitudes, and it is said that he helped repair the church in the Middle Ages. He also foretold the defeat of crusaders during the Crusades when they would come to Damietta for trying to convert Muslims by force and not by love. And sure enough, they were defeated. He prophesied a famine would happen after his death. And sure enough, after his death, a famine happened. Over and over and over, even in the Eastern Orthodox Church, we could give examples. I'll just give one. There was a prophetic voice named Seraphim of Sarov, and he prophesied that there would come a day when great persecution from the communists would come out of the nation of Russia. And look what happened. It certainly came to pass. However, in my own life, I could stand here and talk probably the rest of the day about personal prophetic words that I've received and how they greatly bless my life. But this is not about me, but I just want to share a couple of these, okay? First of all, in the 1990s, I was pastoring in Chesapeake. And during that time, I had an elderly man. He was in his 80s. He came and preached for me. He was a great man of God. His name was William Ward. His nephew and niece were the Heflins from Richmond, if y'all remember that name. But anyhow, Dr. Ward came and preached for me. He had several earned doctorates, had preached in 82 nations of the world. He believed in miracles, signs, and wonders. And he called me out one night and he said, "I see your pastor is going to pastor one of the largest churches in this region." And that prophetic word was captured on a cassette tape. How many goes back to ancient history and remember cassette tapes? I love having fun with that. But anyhow, it was on a cassette tape, and he said other things with it as well. But later on, I ended up moving from Chesapeake and going to Northern Virginia into the Washington, D.C. area, and we planted a church there and stayed for 9 years. And didn't have one of the largest churches in the region. We had about 35 people, maybe 45, 55 at times. But it was not a large church by any stretch of the imagination. Yet through all those years, on occasion, I'd run across that cassette tape somewhere in my library or something, or in my files. And I remember a couple times pulling it out and listening to it. And I was like, man, that bears witness with my spirit. He was a great man of God. Did he miss it, Lord? Am I trying to put it in... fit it into my own situation, you know? Well, fast forward to 2009. 2009, my church we were dismantling it, basically. We'd moved locations, and we were thinking about, okay, let's break it down, and maybe we can replant the church, and we were going through different ideas. February of 2009, and I show up at one of our conference meetings in Virginia Beach. And that night, well, first of all, the first guy who meets me when I walk through the door and he made a beeline right to me was Pastor Bill Mayo. And I didn't know what was on his mind, but he was pastoring here. God was working something. I sat with him in those meetings. And then that night, a guy named Tony Miller, Bishop Tony Miller, preached. Tony passed away 2 weeks ago, and it was a tragedy. He was a great man of God. Tony preached, and at the end, he prophesied over three people, and I was one of them. And I'm at the altar, and I'm crying, and he says, Hans, this night, the Lord says to you that I've had you hidden, but I'm taking you out, and I'm putting you on a pedestal, and everyone's going to know that my hand is upon you. He said that at night. Bro, I was wrecked. I didn't even know if I'd ever pastor again. I was that to that point. I thought, I'm horrible at this. I didn't know that within 6 to 7 months after that, I would be sitting here talking to the leadership team of this church and getting ready to become the pastor. And then when I took over the pastorate, God supernaturally visited us. Y'all know. We saw 1,000 people saved. We saw 2,000 saved. We saw 3,000 saved. We lost count of the amount of people we were seeing saved in the altars, in the nursing homes, in the hospitals, in the Royal Ranger ministry, in the youth ministry, in the Sunday school classes. Absolutely. And God's not finished. Come on, we're just getting started. And so then I thought back to that old cassette tape prophecy. I was back in this region. And as far as I'm concerned, God fulfilled that word. He fulfilled that word in my life. It took some years. It took over 10 years, I guess, or thereabout, but God fulfilled that word. Let me give you one more. I told this, I think, last week, but we need to hear it again. My youngest daughter, Alex, had a physical problem we discovered as she was a senior in high school. And so we took her to a doctor, and they really couldn't figure out what was going on. And it ended up us taking her to another doctor that really couldn't figure out what was going on. I mean, they had their ideas, you know, but it didn't solve the problem. Then she went to college in Oklahoma. And while she was in Oklahoma, this thing really got bad. I mean, I didn't realize how bad it was. She told us at one point, she said, I want to die every day because of the pain I'm going through. So she went to another doctor, and they thought something else was going on. They couldn't figure it out. I called one of my cousins who's a brilliant doctor in St. Louis, and he told me, he said, Hans, you need to take her to a research hospital. The honest truth is we just don't know what it is. And we didn't tell anybody what was going on because we were very private about it, but I told a lot of people to pray. So I told our staff, pray for you know, Alex. And then I get a phone call. I didn't get this way in the first service, but I got a phone call from Pastor Roger Stables. And Roger said, Pastor, I don't know what's going on, but I have a picture in prayer, and I see Miss Jackie holding Alex's baby. And it was to the point that I didn't think she would be able to have a child. But in late June of 2020, she had a child. And this is Jackie holding her. Thank you. That was on a Monday, and that Wednesday night, Jackie went home to be with the Lord. But during the difficult times, we held on to that word. I remembered what Roger had told me. And I said, God, you showed him this. And it certainly seems like I have no hope right now. But I'm just going to hold on. And look what God did. Look what God did. Come on, can somebody shout hallelujah? Does God speak today? Absolutely, God speaks today. Absolutely. How long do we need the prophetic ministry? We need it until Jesus comes back. How long do we need apostles going and establishing and building? Until Jesus comes back. And we better be using this stuff now. Because when Jesus comes back, we don't need the prophetic gift then. We're going to have the greatest prophet of all with us right then. We don't need the gifts of healing when we get to heaven. We're all going to be healed. We don't need words of knowledge when we get to heaven. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to know as we have been known. I think we're going to have a perfect knowledge when we get there. We need those gifts right now in the church and in society. Can somebody shout amen? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, verse 20, do not despise prophecies. Test all things and hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, as we read that in the past in the King James, and I grew up on King James and I love it, I have the New King James here, and the New King James and Old King James place things in verse form. It's like every verse can be taken as an independent thought. But really, modern translations and editors put these verses into paragraphs. And in the New King James, you give a bolded, there's a bolded verse that shows you the beginning of a paragraph. Why is that important? Because we've looked at that passage in the past and thought that all those things were separate thoughts. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Well, that's one sermon. Despise not prophecy. Well, that's another sermon. Hold on to the good and release what is bad. Well, that's another sermon. But actually, I believe it all deals with prophecy. I believe it's all dealing with prophecy. So let's read it in that light. Do not despise prophetic word in your church. Test the good words. Test all words. Hold fast to the good. Abstain from the bad. Years ago, we had a lady, and her husband was a cameraman for CBN. They were such a sweet couple. She came to me one day, and she scheduled a meeting with me. And she sat down and she asked one of the greatest questions that's ever been asked me. She said, "Pastor, what is prophetic protocol in your church?" I said, "Sister, that's a good question. I don't know that I have an answer, but we need to come up with something." And so one Sunday morning, we were in the old sanctuary. She looked at me and she kind of, we made eye contact, and I knew that she had some words in her heart. I brought her up on the platform, gave her the microphone. She picked out three people in the congregation and gave words over them. And then we went on with the service. I got my assistant pastor and I said, "Now here's what we're going to do. Go to each of those people and let's do an interview process and see if her words were on or not." We went to each of those three people and every one of them said, "Oh my gosh, she was nailing my situation. Yes, she was on." I said, "That's all I need to hear. Thank you." And then we began a prophetic teaching thing in our church, and she led it, and she was tremendous and wonderful with it. Amen? It was great. But her and I wrestled. We would talk, and we wrestled with the issue of how do you do that in a church of 900 people. And she was very candid and said, "I really don't know, Pastor Hans." And I was like, "I don't either. We have to learn in this. We're all learning in this." But the issue is, let the prophetic gift flow. Rebuke or take away, keep the meat but spit out the bones. Let me get it right down to country. Chew the meat but spit out the bones, but let prophetic ministry flow. Can somebody shout amen? Okay, I'm going to give you four ways that God speaks to us today. There are more. I'm just going to give you four. And hopefully this will bring some guidelines into the whole larger discussion of the prophetic. Number one, He speaks through His Word. This is number one, numero uno, primary way God speaks to us. It's probably laying on your shelf somewhere or on your nightstand somewhere, or if you can't read or you have a problem reading, get it on your phone, get the audio version, get the dramatized version, wind blowing, dogs barking. I love it, amen, but get the Word into your heart somehow, because this is the primary way that God speaks to us. One of the issues that I see and one of the imbalances I see in the prophetic is that people look to prophetic words so much as a substitute for getting into the Scriptures themselves and grounding their faith in the Bible. Whoever wins the election, I'm still a word man. If my wife wasn't healed, I'm still a word man. And I still believe every bit of it is true. If we do have to fight corona, I'm still a word man. My Lord God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory. By His stripes I am healed. I am blessed going in and I'm blessed coming out. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Come on, I'm a word man from daylight to dark. Get in the Word and you will not be shaken and blown about with every wind and every new word that comes across the internet. One guy said this. He's a big prophetic voice today. And I've met him. He's been in my meetings before. And I ran into him in the Atlanta airport a couple years ago. Went up and talked to him. And he's big time now. But he said this the other day. And I thought it's so good. He said, I came out of the faith movement and we were word people. We stood on the word for everything. And the word works. But he was a prophet. But he said, man, we would prophesy. But he said prophetic word was like the icing on the cake. It wasn't the cake. It was the icing on the cake. I said, oh, that's so good. That's so good. I have received some amazing prophetic words like I've shared here. But I will confess, the most profound, greatest words I've ever received have come through the Bible. I was 16 years old. It's about 1985. How many of y'all remember back into those ancient days of 1985? 1985, the Lord spoke to me in a hospital room. I came out of that hospital room and I knew something was going on in my life. I went to my mom and dad's bedroom and for some strange reason they had purchased a copy of the Living Bible Paraphrase. And I picked up that little paperback book and I took it to my room and I opened up to the book of Mark and I read it and my life was forever changed. I got saved reading the Bible. Number two, my church told me once you're saved, pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit for 8 months. I sought diligently this gift in my life. And then one night I was in my bedroom at my mom and dad's house and I opened up the Bible and I read Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall speak with new tongues. And I said, Lord, you said it right there. In your name, I can speak with new tongues. So I knelt down and I prayed that prayer. Nothing happened. I got back up again. I read that verse again. I knelt down again. And nothing happened. I don't know how many times I went through this exercise till finally I prayed and a word came out that was not English. I went later, I was scared. I said, I don't want this to be the devil. I don't want this to be my brain. I don't want it to be something wrong. So I went to church the next day, and I think it was a Friday night. I went to church, and I ran up to the altar as soon as they gave an altar call. My pastor laid hands on me. I fell out on the floor, and all of a sudden, it was like gushing. It came out of me like a river, an unknown language that God had given me to pray in. That came through reading the Bible and praying the Scripture. One more. I was encouraged in my home church to preach because my pastor was saying, I believe you have a ministry in the Word besides just in music, because I'd always played music. He said, I believe you have a ministry in the Word, Hans. And I felt this in my heart, and I had a passion for the Word. But then one night I was in prayer, and as I was in prayer, I felt a verse speak to my mind, and it was Jeremiah 3:15. I opened up Jeremiah 3:15 and it said this, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And I knew that that was a confirmation of God calling me to preach His word. Three of the biggest things that ever happened to me in my life came through the word becoming rhema to me. You familiar with that term? I mean, there's a discussion about it, but let me just go there. We consider this word the logos. It's always there. But then there are times the Holy Spirit comes and lifts out certain scriptures and places them in your heart according to the time and season you're walking through. That's when it becomes the living word or the rhema word to us. Can somebody shout amen? Come on, say it. God speaks through His word. The second way God speaks is through pictures. God speaks through pictures. Now, what do I mean by this? You can get a picture of something in your mind's eye. And I know this is kind of subjective because there are a lot of pictures that float through our minds, right? But sometimes God places things in there and they're of Him. What Roger saw was a prophetic picture that God let him see in prayer. I remember, I could tell many stories here. I'll just narrow it down to a couple here. I remember preaching revival years ago in a country church. I had no one helping me musically. It was just me and my guitar. After I preached, I just gave an altar call. It's totally quiet. No one's playing anything. And I asked people for prayer. They came and they lined up in the front wanting prayer. And I started laying hands on folks. And as I did, I thought, golly, everyone in this room is listening to every word I'm saying. It was quiet as a mouse in there. And that made me nervous. And finally, I came to one lady and I prayed for her. And I had this mental picture of her driving a big yellow school bus. Immediately, this war went on within me. God, is this you? Or is this just me thinking something stupid? And so I said, I'm just not going to say anything. So I went on to the next person, and I felt the Lord rebuke me strongly. And I felt, this is what I felt him say. Take it for what it's worth. I felt him say, if you don't share that, I'll never give you anything else. I went back to that person, and I said, this is weird, but I see you driving a school bus. Well, she started laughing. Other people in the congregation did. And then I started ministering to her based off that word picture. Well, guess what she did in life? She was a school bus driver. And it was just a small thing, a word of knowledge basically, but it came as a word picture. And after that came, I'm telling you, that revival shifted. I'm telling you, there was it cracked wide open because of a simple little thing the Lord had given me as a word picture. Matter of fact, that night, that next day, the pastor and his wife took me out for lunch, and they're sweethearts, man. And the pastor's wife looked at me and she said, now, Brother Hans, tonight, you're going back to that church and you're going to tell those folks you didn't know what that lady did for a living and we didn't tell you. I said, yes, ma'am. I was preaching not long ago. I think it was actually 2019 now in Central Virginia. And I was in it was like a gymnasium that they were using as a church, and it was a combined district revival with several different churches in the IPHC coming together. And I preached one night, and I gave an altar call, and all these people came down to the altar, and as soon as they came to the altar, in my mind's eye, I saw a leg with a metal rod going through it, and I think it was a left leg, if I remember correctly. Again, a war ensued in my mind, and I thought, do I share that, or is that just stupid? But operating the spiritual gifts, it's like going up, climbing up to the highest diving board and stepping out on the end and jumping off. Amen. And so I said, I'm going to jump off. I said, I don't know, but I feel the Lord is showing me right now somebody needs prayer right here. And you've had surgery on your left leg, and you've got a metal rod running through it. Well, this woman went wild. Ah! That's me. And I'm saying, now let's be sure it's the left. Yes, it's the left leg. Let's pray for her. Again, boom. It's like the curtain was pulled back on the power of God that night because God had shown me a little. I don't know. God just works like that. So God can show you things. And you say, well, Pastor Hans, he's showing you because you're a preacher. No, he can show any of you that because the Holy Spirit can move through you. He moves through us all. God speaks through his word. He speaks in pictures. The third way he speaks, and this is really subjective, but he speaks through desires and feelings. He speaks through desires and feelings. Of the great things I've been able to accomplish in ministry, they started with a desire in my heart to do it. I wanted to do it. But it can get even more particular and refined than that. Y'all know our good friend Doug Eccles that comes here and preaches for us every year. Doug had an experience several years ago. He went to Haiti on a trip, and while he was in Haiti, he got off the plane and got into a taxi cab in Port-au-Prince and was driving to a certain hotel where he had previously booked rooms. And on the way to the hotel that night, Doug said he just felt a nudge. Just something just didn't feel right. And he said he asked the taxi driver, he said, could you actually take me to another hotel? I know this other place. And I think I'd like to stay there. No problem. Took Doug to the other hotel. And the other hotel was actually outside rooms, like outside bungalows. So he and his friends put their gear down. They went outside and they had a little pool. He said, we were sitting around the pool, and within a few minutes, an earthquake happened. And he said the ground rolled like rolling out carpet or something. And the water in that pool licked up and fell back on the ground. And that was the earthquake that killed, what, 300,000 people in Haiti a few years ago? He was there. Now, what's the deal? They were protected, but the other hotel that he was previously going to was multi-storied, and it had fallen and collapsed and killed people. And Doug said it was just that nudge, just that sense, something isn't right about this, saved his life. I can't tell you the times my wife has left a grocery cart full in the middle of an aisle and walked out of a store because she felt the spirit wasn't right. Sounds weird? My wife wouldn't let anybody just pray for her either. You weren't going to lay hands on her. She was in a meeting years ago before we were married, and it was a tent meeting. She was in line to be prayed for, and this preacher's getting ready to pray for her, and this lady comes up and lays hands on her back, and Jackie turns around and says, "Get your hands off me." The preacher says, "You turn around and apologize to that lady." Jackie said, "I'm not doing it." Turned out that lady was involved in witchcraft, was trying to steal another man's wife. But some church people couldn't handle my wife because she walked in a level of discernment that I couldn't understand at times. This is a real spirit world we live in, folks. There are real witches right here in this area. There's real drug dealers right here in this area. There's some real demons right here in this area. Come on, somebody. God has given us the spiritual gifts to walk in victory in this life. You listen to those feelings. You pay attention to those word pictures. You get grounded in your word, and you're not going to be blown away. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody give me a way that you're still alive and well. One more thing. He speaks through words. He speaks through words. God can give you a word that drops into your spirit, and that's how he's speaking to you, and you better pay attention to it. I started... not for my own glory, but I wanted to minister to people. I want to see people change. Every meeting I have, I want to see somebody saved, baptized, Holy Ghost, healed. I want to see some action happen. Amen. I'm not satisfied just having church and singing three songs and preaching 3 points and going home. I want to see something happen, especially if I'm in a revival. It's like it's on. So I was preaching in Southern Virginia, I think it was in 2019. Alex was traveling with me, and I'd just been praying, Lord, give me people's names. Not for my glory, but I want to minister to people, man. I want to get out there in their heart. And so I was preaching in a church, and there weren't a whole lot of people there, but I just kept walking up and down the center aisle as I was preaching. And I would walk past this one section, and I heard a word, and I forgot it, that it was a name, but I'm just going to say Billy. And I heard this a couple of times, and finally I just stopped, and I said, "Who is Billy?" And this lady's like, "He's my son." And I said, "God says he's bringing him out, and he's bringing deliverance to him." She said, "Oh my gosh, he's in jail right now." And boom, that meeting shifted from a natural to a supernatural meeting. God can give you words that change the whole way. It opens the heart. It opens the door to people's hearts. But you know, a lot of people criticize prophets and people who move prophetically and in gifts because of our limited ability. Well, you know what? Paul said in the middle of the gift chapters, 1 Corinthians 12 is a chapter about gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 is a chapter about gifts. But yet placed in the middle is 13, which is about gifts too. And it's about the greatest, and that's love. And it hinges the moving of the gifts because we have to move out of love for people and love for God. That's what greases all of the spiritual gifts. But in there, he said, we know in part... and we prophesy in part. He said, we see through a glass dimly, but then face to face. So as a prophetic gift, we only hear part and we see dimly. God's not given us the whole blueprint of someone's life. But the prophets speak what the, and we need to hear the prophets speak. And we should be very careful if we use the term false prophet about somebody. You need to be careful in saying that about somebody. More on that next week. But you need to be really careful. And the Bible says also in those Corinthian passages that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the... Come on, Bible scholars. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the... To the prophet. What does that mean? Now, I came from old school Pentecost, and I know a lot of y'all did, and this is going to push you, okay? This is what I believe. God sets his gifts in us, and he gives them as he wills, sure. But yet, we are involved in the process. We can, by an act of faith, release the gifts in our life. It's like speaking in tongues. I feel I could speak in tongues right now by an act of my will. I'm cautious to do that because I don't want to be disrespectful or irreverent. I don't like when people joke about it. I don't like when people use tongues flippantly. I'm not like that. But Smith Wigglesworth said this years ago. He said, I feel like I could speak in tongues any time of the day, but I wait to the appropriate time that I'm in prayer and the appropriate setting to do it. But it doesn't negate the fact, once God gives the gift, you have the ability, by an act of faith, to release that gift in your life. It's the same thing with the prophetic. I know that's weird and it's hard for me to wrap my mind around. But a few years ago, I was speaking at Emmanuel College in Georgia, and after we had finished one of the night meetings, my daughter Alex was again with me, I'd received a message from my good friend Kent Christmas. And he said, Hans, God has given me a word for you, and I need to release it when you get time. So after the meeting that night, we're riding down a country road, and I remember I said, oh, I'm supposed to call Kent. So we pulled over into a church parking lot, side of the road, and I called Kent. And we talked casually for a few moments as friends, and then he said, Hans, I want to release this word. And the man gave me one of the most powerful prophetic words I've ever had in my life. And I'm seeing it come to pass right now. I've already seen parts of it come to pass. But he knew the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And there's going to come a time to release this thing. What does that mean? It means you don't have to speak everything you hear, and you don't have to speak it right then. Because in Pentecostal churches, we've seen people interrupt services and interrupt the preaching of the word and get out of order because they felt it only could come when the emotion hit them. But actually, emotion deals with the soul realm, whereas the gifts deal with the spirit realm. And it goes deeper than that. It goes into the realm of the spirit. Now, we get emotional, and I'm a shouter probably more than anybody in this church. And I love the revival, and I love to dance my shoe heels off. I wish we had more of that, amen? But nonetheless, I'm serious when it comes to the gift. You move in a deeper level. Oh, hallelujah. You move in the realm of the spirit, and God brings forth, and the deep calls on the deep at the noise of his waterspouts, and it starts calling out stuff and breaking stuff in a congregation. My dear friend Ted Shuttlesworth, I just had a great conversation with Ted the other night. He moves at a deep level in the word of knowledge. I mean, it is absolutely amazing to watch that man move in the word of knowledge. But it's a serious deal to him. I was with him a couple of years ago in West Virginia in a meeting. And at the end of that meeting, Ted's moving in word of knowledge. And then he calls an altar call. And he starts working with this one lady. And I see this. I'm playing guitar on stage. And I watch him. Later on, I saw that lady come into the foyer. And you know what happened to her that night? She received her sight. She was blind. She came out. She saw her grandchild for the first time that night and walked out into the foyer and was like, my wife standing next to me, she said, what's wrong with that lady? I said, Jackie, I think she just received sight. I called Ted later. He said, that's exactly what happened, hon. She had never seen. Come on, somebody. We've been doing church, singing a hymn and quoting a poem. Come on, man. There's so much more. There's so much more. God's calling you into it, not just Hans. He's calling you. Get into the depths of everything he has. Believe the Holy Ghost and his gifts are for you today. And say, God, I want every bit of it, Lord. I want every bit of it, God. I'm tired of ministering in a dry place. God, I want to be poured out upon. Pour the Holy Ghost out upon me. Let me minister from the depths of the anointing, God. I believe what, I know this is my own take and it's my own opinion, so forgive me if it's wrong, but this is me. I believe Corona wasn't of God. I don't believe God sends stuff like that. But God is using it to shake us down to the core and get us back to moving in the spiritual gifts and in the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. He's shaking us down to the core and he's saying, who's on the Lord's side? You remember when Moses came off the mountain, they were worshiping the golden calf and he ran and he stood up and he said, who's on the Lord's side? And it was the tribe of Levi that came forward and it was to them who was given the priesthood and given the anointing and given the gifts. How many can stand up and say, God, I'm on your side. Poor, I'm a candidate. I want everything you have for me, God. I want to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I want to see the lame walk and the dumb talk. I want to see the blind see, God. I want to touch people and see them baptized in the Holy Ghost. Woo! Come on, somebody give him a praise. Hallelujah. I long for the day we walk in here and it's church not as usual. And the lame come and the limbs grow out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. People come from all over. We have to have the police parking people because of miracles, signs, and wonders in the kingdom again. Oh, raise your hands and give him a praise for about 30 seconds. Come on. Come on, raise your hands and give him a praise. Just let your voice shout out. Say, God, I want more of you, Lord. Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to give you one more thing and we're going to pray. One more thing we're going to pray. There is a passage, I didn't read it in the first service, but you got to hear this. Hang on, just stand right there with me. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. That's what Paul said. He said, the charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. Okay, so there had been prophetic words given over Timothy, Paul's protege. If you remember in the first of that book, he said, stir up the faith that was given to you by the laying on the hands of the presbytery. There was a presbytery of prophetic people who laid hands on Timothy. And he said that gifts were imparted to him through that action. And Paul came and said, don't forget about it and stir it up in you. He said, now I charge you this, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. What is the warfare? The warfare is the fight for our faith. We fight the good fight of you have to fight to believe and war to believe. What did I have? I had a picture of Jackie holding my grandson. And when it looked like it wasn't going to happen, we believed that picture. And then once she got pregnant, the doctor told her, my daughter has it documented. He looked her in the eyes and he said, you need to be making some decisions right now about aborting this baby before it's too late. I said, well, Alex, that ain't an option. That's not an option. But I remember this picture, Bob. And we held on to that picture. That's what the prophetic does. It speaks, it blows the winds of faith into your heart that you say, God, though I don't see it, you spoke it over my life. And I believe it, God, and I'm going to test this word, and I'm going to hang on to that word through the good times, through the bad times. And after a while, when we see it all come to pass, I'm going to shout. Our problem is we try to figure it out in our way, in our time, and bend it to meet us. Come on, man. God's ways are not our ways. Come on, somebody. God's ways are not our ways. How many can lift your hands and remember some things God has spoken to you? Maybe just through scripture or maybe through a prophetic word. Just go ahead and say, I thank you, God, that I'm waging a good warfare because of these words in my life right now in Jesus' name. Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing: God loves you and He has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray. And you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us. And we love you dearly. And go follow God and go into the destiny that He has for your life.